of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to start in a place that might surprise you because it doesn't apparently have anything to do with the readings, but you need to hear it in order to understand how I'm coming at the readings. During my time away, I actually became somewhat captivated by the idea of Moloch, which is the odd place to start. It's a little bit of an obscure biblical reference, but Moloch is mentioned a number of times in Leviticus and a couple of other places in the Old Testament, Kings and Jeremiah. And it's always in distinction to Yahweh, that Moloch is the god of the Ammonites and is a god that, you know, the most important feature of that particular god is that it demands the sacrifice of children. And so one of the great points of religious warfare and disagreement in the Old Testament is between the Israelites and the worship of Moloch. And so there are lots of ways to interpret that particular story in its historical context, and there are some scholarly questions about whether Moloch is an actual god or whether it just talks about the rite of sacrifice particularly. There are some odd passages in the Old Testament that might suggest that even the Israelites were practicing child sacrifice as well. And that idea of Moloch as the god that demands you sacrifice your children became picked up in the 18th and 19th century as a metaphor for the human condition and all its problems. And it's interesting to me that it got picked up as the world moved into modernity, that people fixed on this idea, this metaphor of Moloch, as an explanatory term for what the modern world had done to us as humans, where we got these gears started grinding that churned up our own children and we didn't know how to stop it. And it was so destructive, and yet it was what we all kept doing. And so you can think, jump right into the modern day, into, I'll take a really obvious example, an easy punching bag, which is school shootings in America, right? We all know it's terrible. The children are being sacrificed, literally dying in their schools. And you know, the question is, well, if you wanted it to stop, why don't you just choose to stop it? Oh, no, we can't because of this and because of that and because of that. And everything has a kind of logic to it. One that I don't want you to feel picked on if you're in this court. I'm getting closer to home now. But another little Moloch reality for me is the size of vehicles on the roads. In 1978, when I was a kid, an F-150 was about 7,000 pounds lighter and 16 inches shorter than an F-150 today. And a lot of people drove cars. You look for a car on the roads in the Okanagan, and you won't find any. It's all SUVs, and it's trucks, and they're higher, and they're bigger, and they're safer, except for everyone else around them. And so you have an arms race and a sightline race. I drive my little Honda Civic and I, you know, get behind anybody and I go, all right, I need a 3-car gap so I can see. And so what I should do is get a nice higher vehicle so that I'll have more visibility. And then, of course, what ends up happening is that everybody gets a higher vehicle because it's the logical thing to do. It's the smart thing to do. And then everybody can't see again. We're just back where we were when everyone drove cars, except we're all higher up and in bigger vehicles and more pedestrians die, which is what's happening with the bigger vehicles. More pedestrians are dying. And we are throwing our kids into the meat grinder due to perfectly logical, rational decision-making reasons. And for me, this image of Moloch captures this. And so many problems in our world, COVID, war, politics, all the things that make us go, why do human beings not just care about each other and work hard for the common good? Why it doesn't happen? And so that image of Moloch, now that's the background of how I come to these readings today. So, burning bush, that encounter with God, is the beginning of the move away from accepting that Moloch is just the way it is. It's that divine encounter, that thing that interrupts your assumptions about how the world is and how humanity is, and that's just the way it works. And there's an encounter with the divine that says it doesn't have to be this way. There's another way. And that, I mean, each of us here, I would argue, has some kind of burning bush in our experience that set us on the spiritual journey in some way. And that could be a literal encounter with God in a mystical way. That could have been just an existential crisis where you'd say, what's the meaning of anything? I have so many favorite stories of people's coming to faith. One of them is a priest friend of mine who was an atheist, and a Christian friend of his who was actually smart said, you keep criticizing a thing you don't know, so how can you criticize it if you don't know it? And so he said, fine, I'll prove you wrong. I'm going to read the Bible, and I will prove that everything is wrong and stupid about it. And so he read the Bible, and he said, it's so wrong and stupid, it must be true. Because otherwise a zillion people wouldn't follow this. It makes no sense. So his logic said, this is so nonsensical, there must be a divine reality to it. And he became a Christian. And ultimately a priest, one of my favorite people. And so the burning bush moment can happen in paradoxical, crazy ways. However, God comes to you, and you can't make any rules about it. It just falls its own. It's the Holy Spirit. It blows where it wills. It will, and that's what happens. So you have the burning bush moment, and then you get set on this journey, and the journey is from slavery to freedom. Right? That's the journey of the Israelites. We're going to follow that story in the lectionary where after the burning bush, Moses says, let my people go. And then there's some wars and calamities and plagues and all the rest of it. And out they go. And this movement of the Israelites becomes a metaphor for this journey of us individually and collectively from this world controlled by the logic of Moloch to the world controlled by the logic of Yahweh. And so we go on that journey. Now, when we go on that journey, we backslide. We go, oh, when we just were in Egypt, we could eat our fill at the flesh pots. And we will whine and complain like the Israelites because it's hard. And so we come to the gospel reading where Jesus sits down and explains that he will have to go to Jerusalem and suffer. And Peter says, no, don't say that, Jesus. That's not how it works. God is with you. You will be successful and famous and rich and great. And of course, we know what Jesus says. Get behind me, Satan. That's the very worst thing you can say to me. That means you really don't know. You're still following Moloch. If you think that a life of faith, a life of following God, is going to achieve all the things, it's just another strategy to achieve the results that the Moloch logic is trying to achieve, you still haven't really converted. And how many Christians, people of faith, people who consider themselves spiritual, are still pursuing the same ends. They're just using a different means to achieve it. So I can't be rich, powerful, or famous in the secular world. I'm going to be a priest, and then people will listen to me, right? And so really, if what I want is to stroke my ego, this would be a way to do it, and it would be a disaster for everyone, myself included. Only if this is legit does it work. And so for clergy, common pitfalls, but for Christians of any kind, you know, God, I thought when I gave my heart to you, my life would go well, and all this crap is now raining on my head. How dare you? Right? And God says, so you think that faith in me means you don't get to suffer like every other human being? Is this the deal? Right? And so essentially it's still Moloch worship. It's just, it's got a different face on it. So get behind me, Satan. So whatever this new way, the way that this burning bush has started in our hearts, this conversion process, this changing orientation, this transformation into a new person, a person in the image of Christ, it involves the cross. It is a way through the cross. We pick up our cross, we accept our sufferings, and we get to the other side of them. We don't avoid them. And that leads us to the final thing. That's where Paul comes in. Practical advice. How to carry your cross, keep following the way of the burning bush, the way of Yahweh, and really get out of Moloch. And these practical bits of wisdom work at the beginning of the journey, in the middle of the journey, and at the end of the journey. At the end, they are the fruits of the journey. At the beginning, they're faking it till you make it. Right? But at any stage, all of these work. And if you want to find out the way of Moloch, just put the opposite on there. And ask yourself honestly how often you've given in and followed the other way. Right? So let's just do a few. Be patient in suffering. Oh, that's easy. Right? I didn't plan to talk about this, but I just got a shingles vaccine on Thursday, and I had a hellish couple of days. And I'm supposed to be patient through that and not mope and whine through the whole thing? Are you kidding me? Right? Never mind people with long-term debilitating pain. Right? I mean, vaccine reaction is nothing compared to what many of you have gone through. Many of you have had shingles, which is about 1,000 times worse than the vaccine, right? And be patient in suffering. Now, if you're working on it, then you can try to be patient. You can look patient. You can sound patient. You might not feel patient on the inside. That's fair. That's working on it. I'd like to believe, somewhere ahead of where I am personally, that I will be able to put it in context and genuinely find that place of patience. And maybe I'll be ready for that when the bigger sufferings come that will come with age. They just do. And maybe by the grace of God, I will be ready and my patience will be a fruit of the Spirit, of having served the Lord with my whole being as much as I can. What's another good one that we do badly? Do not claim to be wiser than you are. That one hits a little close to home. Right? I don't know that. Your guess is as good as mine. That's another one. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. That's a subtle one. But that hits pretty close to home, too. One of the things that we do to prop ourselves up to say, we're not like them. Ask a Canadian. Well, it's great to be a Canadian. First answer is, we're not American. Right? That's the way of Moloch. Sorry. It just is. Right? To distinguish yourself by status, by these markers, identity markers, all of that is just puffing up your ego at the expense of others, and it's still struggling for the wrong thing. Right? Don't be haughty. The lowly are children of God as much as the highest among us. And so we are all in it together. Whether you're a fentanyl addict or whether you are a CEO, we are all in it together. And that perspective comes from putting yourself into the paradigm that was started with that burning bush, that we are all children of Abraham, all children of the Lord, and we're all in it together. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, and do not seek vengeance for people who have wronged you. Since I'm using myself as exhibit A for all how to do it wrong, I was a bullied kid. I've shared that before. I spent years fantasizing about finding a time machine so I could go back and show those bullies up. It's just my young brain just going, I'm still hurting from that. And I wish I could meet them now and find out that they're losers in real life. Boy, that would show them, right? Because I wanted them to regret what they did to me. I wanted vengeance, right? But that discounts their journey. They could have transformed. They could have just been casually cruel the way kids are, not thought a thing about it, and they've gone on to do great things and be great people. I don't know. I haven't looked them up, thankfully. But vengeance is mine, says the Lord. They're not my concern. They're not my concern. And when I can let them go, I grow closer to the person I was meant to be, more like Jesus, accepting my cross, getting to that other side. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So, practical advice for taking up your cross and following the way of the burning bush and not backsliding into Moloch worship, which is so easy and so tempting. And even when we blink, we find that we've done it again. And so, every Sunday, we repent, we are forgiven, and we are encouraged on the journey following Jesus, who is our leader and our master. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.